Let's get our Bibles out this morning. Let's look in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Now, a good portion of this chapter, of course, is the story of the prodigal son. By the time it's all said and done, we'll have looked a little more at length at the whole thing. But we're just going to begin over here in verse 20, where the prodigal son, after a bunch of foolishness, returns to his father. Look in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Let's pray. Now, Father, we're glad to be able to come here this morning again, and we've had a good time already for an hour. I appreciate the singing. Lord, we came here, though, to worship Thee. We came here, actually, to hear Thy Word. So, Father, whatever we've ministered to You, Lord, we hope it was pleasing in Your sight. But now we need You to minister to us. We really do. There's probably somebody here. There may well be somebody here that's not saved. We pray You deal with their heart. There may be somebody here that's tarrying kind of on the outer fringes. And playing around with something that's more dangerous than they recognize. Pray that You'd make that real to them as well. Father, may each and every prodigal that's here in mind, heart, or body, Lord, may they return. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you can see here that by and large, at least as far as the issue with the prodigal son himself, this is a happy ending to a sad story. It's a blessing that whatever else happens in our lives, if you're saved, you know, the end of this story is a happy ending. I don't know all that's going to happen in the middle and or all those things are from here on out. But I know that in the end, the story is a happy ending. Now, in the end of this story, there's something that's said here. It comes through a servant, but it's plainly true. In verse 27, with the elder brother struggling with the fact that his younger brother is now home and has received a party and so on. And that's the subject of another sermon. Notice verse 27. He said unto him, Thy brother is come. This is a servant speaking to the older brother. Thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. Safe and sound. Now, folks, that's a phrase that I've heard for my entire life. There's nothing old or antiquated about that phrase. I don't know when the last time you used it, but we talk all the time about something being safe and sound. And when you think about that, quite frankly, those are two of the things that people constantly are on edge about. Safe and sound. I mean, you stop and think about it. We Americans are somewhat safety paranoid. Now, let's face it. I don't know. I grew up without a... I would have gotten beat up if I put on a bike helmet, but now bike helmets are the way things are. And that's fine. I'm not saying you're backslidden if you give your kid a bike helmet. I'm just saying that we've become very paranoid about safety and all those things. There are safety meetings at work, seat belts, safety belts, airbags, safety helmets, immunizations, fire alarms, carbon monoxide alarms, burglar alarms. And again, I'm not saying any of these things are wicked. I'm just saying we're extremely safety conscious. There are warning signs, warning stickers, warning bumpers, environmental safety. There's an entire department of public safety. When you go to Walmart, you can't buy anything without a safety label on it. You're not supposed to drink the bleach. You're not supposed to use the hair dryer in the shower. You're not supposed to stop the chainsaw chain with your hand. And I'll grant you that there are a lot of people that probably try those things and all that, but you'd figure that somewhere along the way common sense would prevail. But people are extremely safety conscious. My favorite childhood toy gun is now deemed unsafe. It shot little rubber discs, you know, and man, we shot thousands of those things through those guns, and you know, they were just strong enough to put a little sting, you know, if you hit somebody just right. And a few years back when the boys were smaller, I found them again. I said, man, this was the coolest toy I ever had. And you shot about four of the discs and the thing broke. And they came out and went like that. I mean, they had softened the thing, the springs in them. It was just terrible anyway because it was safety conscious. Well, folks are real safety conscious. We are a little bit safety paranoid. Let's face it, in our country, wash our hands 9,800 times a day and all this sort of thing. I'm not saying you're backslidden if you do that. I'm just saying. Safety is one thing. Soundness is something else. We are worried about the soundness of our health, and with good reason. There is always the soundness of mind that's at question. I mean, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But we think about the soundness of our marriages, the soundness of our jobs, the soundness of our company, the soundness of our family, our financial soundness, and you know, it just goes on and on. There's a lot of things about these two things, safe and sound, that we are concerned about an awful lot in this country, right? And then a 9/11 comes along, or some sniper like a few years ago out in West Virginia or whatever, and comes along and shatters our little bubble of safe and sound, right? Now that being said, I just wanted you to remind you, this is a real common phrase. And it's a phrase from the Bible that still has a pretty intimate part of our conversation. But I want you to know, there's only one guy in the entire Bible that's safe and sound. And you're looking at it. The prodigal son is the only man in the Bible, woman in the Bible, kid in the Bible, that at least the Bible says is safe and sound. And with that comes a few lessons. I wonder, you know, since we use the term safe and sound as much as we do, I wonder if we mean what God means when He records, yeah, He's safe and sound. So I would like to talk to you for a little while this morning about safe and sound. Are you safe and sound? You know, Absalom, David didn't know it, but Absalom was dead. And Absalom cries out to the messenger. He says, is the young man Absalom safe? He wasn't. He was neither safe and he certainly wasn't sound. I want to talk to you for a little while about safe and sound. And first of all, I'm going to tell you what's not. And then we'll see if we can get a little closer to what it is from this passage. This is the definitive passage on safe and sound. Right? Start all the way back in verse 11. And read, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now notice verse 12, the younger of them. I want to tell you what safe and sound is not, first of all. Safe and sound is not youth and freedom. It's not youth and freedom. Here is a young man. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, and I want to go do what I want to go do. Right? Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Youth and freedom does not equal safe and sound. I made the mistake. I'm not really even getting on just the young people this morning, because I know 35-year-olds that still suffer from the same thing. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, young people tend to think they're a little bit invincible because they're young and they're strong and they're just getting started. And let's face it, they're kind of dumb. But they tend to think that they're invincible and that they can go and experiment and do this and do that. They presume upon those things. But I've got news for you. Young people die. Young people are mangled. Young people make decisions at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 that haunt them for the rest of their lives. Just because you're young and strong doesn't mean you're safe and sound. And just because you're young and free doesn't mean you're safe and sound. Here this kid is, he wants his freedom. He wants his liberty. Most young men and young women at some level, at some juncture, you know, want that. If you're smart, you'll wait until the time is right. Because just because you're young and free doesn't mean that you're safe and sound. He was free. He was free of his father's laws, his father's boundaries, all the things that he had to live for, all the chores of the farm and all those things. But so when he got the money and he got the freedom, the last thing he still was safe and sound. He was not safe and sound. There's something else that safe and sound is not. Notice again verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." He divided unto them his living. I'll tell you what, safe and sound is not getting your way. Getting your way does not mean that you are safe and sound. In verse 12, he got everything that he had lain in bed at night and dreamed about getting, dreamt of the day that he'd have the latitude and the liberty and the money to get out of here off this stinking farm and go live life. In verse 13, he went and did what he had dreamed that he would do. And he thought, I'm sure, and walking away with his knapsack over his shoulder and a couple of sandwiches in a bag, I'm sure that he thought, I'm going to go set the world on fire. The world is my apple, and nothing's going to stop me now. But I'll tell you this right now, getting your way does not mean you're safe and sound. There are a lot of folks that think they control their own lives when they don't. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In fact, the Lord says in Proverbs 21 that the way of man is froward and strange. Froward is not a word we use often anymore. It's not forward, but it's froward. It means willfully contrary. It means just being a donkey's hind end to be a donkey's hind end. All right? It's froward. A man's way is froward and strange. Folks, the Lord knows after when you're young and free, and then when you get your way, thinking you're so smart because you finagle things to get your way, the Lord still knows where you live. And the Lord still, by the way, controls the weather. Look down here in verse 14, and when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. See, he was free, and he got his way, but the Lord still controlled the weather. It takes the Lord no effort at all to control to corner you. The Lord can paint you in a corner anytime that he wants to. Being young and free is not the same as being safe and sound. Getting your way is not the same as being safe and sound. Having money and friends is not the same as being safe and sound. I mean, in verse 12, he got the money. In verse 13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took the journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Well, the riotous living proves down in verse 29 and 30 to have been wasted on harlots. But, you know, the prodigal son didn't go spend all of his substance, you know, on just himself. He had himself a party. You know full well that he hooked up with some friends, right? I just want you to know that being safe and sound is not the same as having money and friends. Men long for money. And all men will say, well, money can't buy everything. But they don't really mean it. Because even when they say that, they still act like money buys everything. They still live like money is the answer to everything. Money is the answer to so little, you just don't know. You just don't know. But money and friends is not the same as being safe and sound. This fellow for a while was surrounded by companions. Just because you're surrounded by companions doesn't mean that the Lord can't break through. All right, there's something else that you need to see because I've got several more here to go. Verse 13, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I want you to know that having a good time is not being safe and sound. It's come to a day where certain words seem to have greater sway than others. You know, people today think that fun is the issue. They think their job should be fun. They think that marriage will just be fun. They think that just having kids will just be fun. I got news to you. It's more than fun. It's way more than fun. Some people only go to church where they think it'll be fun. I want you to know the Bible is funless. There is no fun in the Bible, not in the Greek, not in the Hebrew, and not in the Aramaic. There is no fun in the Bible. But seriously, in all seriousness, fun has become a god. Fun is almost as much a god as money. And nowadays, folks don't want to do things unless it's fun. But you know what? Having a good time is not the same as being safe and sound. In verse 14, he spent all, the money wore out, and when the money wore out, his friends went away. And when the friends went away, it wasn't fun anymore, and he wasn't as safe as he thought he was. And then when you get down a little bit further, go down to verse 17, and when he came to himself, I mean, he's ready to repent now. We skipped a stage there. But he came to himself. Hey, he wasn't sound before that. Safe and sound. He came to himself. You know, sin, living in sin is a little bit crazy. I mean, you'd be nuts to go out. You know, come to my house, and I've got a garden all plowed up and a plot all ready to plant. And you see me out there, and you come out to talk to me for a while, and I'm sticking rocks in the ground. Say, what are you doing? Well, I'm planting a rock garden. And you'd think I was nuts, right? Well, folks, I got news for you. Living in sin, you're sowing a crop you don't want to reap. And you're crazy to keep sowing it, knowing that that's what's coming up. I'll tell you what, you know, folks, you know, in our church in particular, I understand somebody that grew up lost, somebody that is sowing wild oats because they just think that there's no... there's no return on that. But folks in our church, that where you read your Bible and you've received preaching for your lifetime, you are a little bit crazy to just live like you want to. Because the crops do come up. I want you to know that having a good time is not the same as being safe and sound. You know, look at verse 15. It doesn't look like much, but he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, I realize this is probably not our idea of worldly security, but I bet, you know, after the money ran out and his friends went away and he had no place to sleep and nothing to eat, when this guy comes along and says, well, I'll give you a job, come home with me, I bet that looked pretty good to him for a while. Well, you know, folks, I'll tell you, worldly security is not the same as safe and sound. You know, I know this guy wound up feeding pigs, but if you got everything that you wanted, if you were just as secure as you could be in your financial portfolio and in your career and all those things, that does not mean you're safe and sound. That does not mean you're safe and sound. You know, something else here. These are all, first of all, things that it's not, but there's some things that it are. I'll talk to you about it later. Look at verse 16. He would fain, have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat and no man gave unto him. You know what? Being safe and sound is not envying pigs. He said he gladly would have filled his belly with the husks, the swine. He said, oh, that looks good. He envied pigs. It's about this juncture that I should preach for a while about bimbos and professional athletes that live like dogs and cats. Okay? Listen, being safe and sound is not envying pigs. Okay? There are a lot of people that are placed before our eyes on a daily basis by this world that are no better morally and spiritually than swine. And I got news for you. You're not safe and sound when you envy pigs. You're just not. There's something else along that line, and then we'll get to something more positive. But go down to verse 16. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks. That is, he would gladly have filled his belly with the husks. You know what? You are not safe and sound when your desires are degraded. He would have been glad to have eaten husks. There is just too much mud and pig, you know, stuff. So he couldn't eat it. But he would gladly have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat. You know, you're not safe and sound where your desires have degraded. Man was not intended to eat husks that swine eat. Right? Sin, rebellion, disobedience, not honoring what God said. Folks, there's a course in Romans 1 where it leads your passions and desires into a lower and lower form where one day something tastes good to you that one day before would have been abominable to you, would have caused the gag reflex to act up. But that's the way we are morally and spiritually. The road to sodomy does not begin with genetics. The road to sodomy begins with ungratitude and not glorifying God in Romans 1. And from there it becomes a sequence where God gives them over, gives them over, gives them over, until finally their tastes are degraded to the point where they want something that's abominable to God and to man. That's normal. That's the way sin works, though. That's the way sin works. I've never been certainly not a drinker since I've been right with God or anything like that, but I got news for you. You know, people regularly sit around and swig stuff that tastes terrible. When you stop and think about it, folks, think about smoking grass and sucking the smoke down your lungs. What is that? It's not safe and sound. It's not safe and sound. Now, on the positive side, you know, being safe and sound, there are some things connected with being safe and sound, and it's important that you and I recognize them. First of all, this is the parable of the prodigal son, right? You know what prodigal means? Most people think that prodigal probably means, wandering or whatever. That's not really what it means. Prodigal means wasteful, okay? Wasting things unnecessarily, just throwing stuff away. That's what prodigal means, all right? And this prodigal son goes out and does that. And before I tell you what this is, you should understand, I mean, you need to make 100% sure, sin always leaves you worse than it found you. Everybody's heard the illustration about, you know, nails in a doorpost, and even after you pulled out the nails and the sin's gone, there's still a scar left there, and it never goes away, right? Sin does not leave you better than when it found you. There will always be scars. There will always be complications because of your sin. Sometimes those crops come back to revisit under the best of circumstances. We understood? So I would never desire to be guilty of making something easy and make it palatable because you can sin now and be forgiven tomorrow. That would be a mistake. All right? So I am not encouraging that. I would sorely advise you not to go there. But I want you to know that being safe and sound can include a pass of wasteful, terrible transgression. Folks, the prodigal son goes away. The prodigal son spends his inheritance. And by the way, just so we're clear, he never got that inheritance back. Okay? He spent his inheritance. And his older brother got the rest of the inheritance because the rest was his. So there are things that there's, you know, not every road you can back up and go the other direction at the crossroads. Right? Okay? Nevertheless, the prodigal son was still said to be safe and sound. The only safe and sound man in the Bible. So I want you to know something. I want you to know that safe and sound can include a past of terrible wasteful transgression. A lot of us have been there, haven't we? There's a lot of us that we have spent a lot of time, in places we ought not be, doing things we ought not do, and there are ways that those things still haunt, right? But you can still be safe and sound and have a past that's filled with waste and transgression. Okay? I never wish to give the semblance of license that you can do this today, be forgiven tomorrow, and things will be okay. Because it's not that simple. It's not that simple. But I will tell you this, after a filthy, immoral journey, the prodigal son comes home and he's safe and sound. Now folks, that is a blessing. Some people would say that the prodigal son was diseased and damaged. No. He's safe and sound. Okay? You're not a second-class Christian because you were stupid at 20 and you got an abortion or you got pregnant or you got divorced. I know. Some people will be mad. I'm sorry. You are not a second-class Christian. You are not less than safe and sound if you're right with God and you've got it taken care of. You can go on with your life. I'm not saying there will never be a crop to be reaped. I'm not saying that you won't think about the abortion once in a while. But I am telling you that being safe and sound, oftentimes, most often, it includes a past of terrible, wasteful transgression. Most of us were pretty bad sinners before we got saved. Most of us, if it came down to it and we had a choice of letting these people in this room see some of the stuff that we got involved in, some of the stuff that we thought, there's none of us that are interested. Right? All right. But are you safe and sound? Because there is a place where you can be safe and sound. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. Look down in verse 17. Safe and sound. Doesn't have anything to do with being prepared, for a terrorist attack. In fact, it doesn't have anything to do with terrorists at all. It doesn't have anything to do with driving a green vehicle. Now, I drive a green vehicle, but it's not green. You know what I'm saying? It's green, but it's not green. It has nothing to do with being safe and sound. Look in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" You know, it says there that he came to himself. I told you that sin makes you a little crazy. You begin to think along a wrong pattern, and you get into habits, and certain character and discipline fails, and you begin to think wrong. And then you begin to feel wrong. Well, he says, he came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? I perish with hunger. I am sitting here desiring husks that swine eat." You know, folks, being safe and sound begins with a desire for the Father's graces. Okay? Once upon a time, the prodigal son had been loved, warm, fed, safe, sheltered, all those things. Enjoyed the love of a father and presumably a mother and presumably a brother. He had been safe and sound. And he had left all of those things because he thought the world had something better for him. And he thought that he could go and waste his father's graces. He thought that he could enjoy, the things in the world and get by and it not affect anything. Look, if we knew it was going to affect anything, if we really believed it was going to affect something, we wouldn't do it, right? But that's the way that sin is. It's called the deceitfulness of sin. And, this kid one day turned and decided that really all he wanted and all he needed was something that he had left. See, all that he had really wanted and needed when it came down to it were the Father's graces and what was at home. He had had it all along. And I'll tell you what being safe and sound is. It begins with a desire for the Father's graces. There's all kinds of ways these days, people try to teach soul winning and all that. And, as people just tend to want to try to make things into an outline and a form where, if we can go through these steps, I can get this guy saved or I can get this guy to come back to God. And that's fine. But, in the end, I've learned something. I've learned that a lost guy has to get where all he wants is rest and relief. He just needs a reprieve. He's fed up with what he is. He's fed up with what he's got. And a guy has to come to the end of himself. In fact, he has to come to himself and want some rest and reprieve. Now, I was saved when I was 10 years old, and I was backslidden for about the next 10 or 12 years. And so, I'm still young, 20 or 21 years old. What? And at 20 or 21 years old, I had still run the end of my course where I was busted. I was unhappy. In fact, I was miserable. And all I wanted was rest and relief. All I wanted was answers. Okay? Now, I came to that place when I was 21 years old. And say, see, folks, being safe and sound begins with a desire for the Father's graces. Salvation, mercy, a word from God. I mean, folks, I was in college. 5 years in college. I'm talking about college, not Bible college. That came later. But college. And I was in college for 5 years with no answers whatsoever. I paid good money for no answers and could not find an answer. And then I found out that the answers were all in a book that I had carried with me to school. And that came to an hour where all I wanted were the Father's graces again. Well, that's safe and sound. There's something else. Look down in verse 18. I will arise and go to my Father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now, he got through the first part of that, but when he came to the Father, he never got to the part in verse 19, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He never got that far. Look at verse 21. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the Father cut him off. You say, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, being safe and sound comes at a price of contrition and repentance. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken spirit, heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We live in a proud day. Satan, the god of this world, is a very proud being, and he instills pride. This undoubtedly was hard for him to say. I tell you what, it was hard for him to say when he was still living with the pigs, but he came to the end of himself and he decided he wanted the Father's graces. And when he got desperate enough, it became easier for him to say, look, I was wrong. I was wrong, and all I ever needed is in your house. And I want to come back under any circumstances. Now, folks, that's good grounds to get saved on. All right? The Lord requires contrition. The Lord requires humbleness. You need to tell God you were wrong. And when it gets down to it, all these definitions of repentance, and they make it this religious, ritualistic sequence. That's not what it is. It's you saying, God, I was wrong. I've always been wrong. You were always right. You've never been anything but right. And I was a fool anytime I ever went my way instead of your way. That's contrition. The fact is, that's the root and seed of repentance. That's really all God needs. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save it, such as be, of a contrite spirit. And this kid came to the point one day where he said, I just want to go home. You know, I know that some of you are witness to your parents and your brothers and sisters and that sort of thing. And I know that some of your parents are hard and they're not here yet. You know, you can tell because it's going to be hard for them to come and say, you were right. Imagine your 70-year-old father coming to you to say, you know, I've been adversarial to your, you know, church and your religion for all these years because you know I raised you Catholic or raised you Lutheran or raised you Methodist or whatever and so on and so forth. But you know what? You were right. And I was wrong. Okay? That's hard ground for some folks. Now, here's the deal, folks. It's not about man. It's about you and God. See, God is always right. And where you have a different opinion, you are always wrong. You're always wrong. And I'll tell you what. I don't know how long it's been. I don't know how long it's been since you got on your knees and said, God, every time I've disagreed with you, I'm wrong. Every single time. Maybe you ought to do that today. Because I'll tell you this, if you're not saved, you can get saved on those grounds. If you're not right, you can get right on those grounds. It comes at the price of contrition and repentance. And until you come to the place where you can say, God, you are right and I am wrong, you're not safe and you're not sound. You're not sound if you think sometimes you're right and God's wrong. You're neither safe nor sound. I can't trust your judgment at all on those grounds. And you can't trust my judgment if that's where I'm at. Right? Something else I wanted you to see here. Look in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father. And you know it says in verse 20, and he arose, came to his father. And then later the servant says, your father's received him safe and sound. He's safe and sound. He said, I will rise and go to my father. And then he rose and went to his father. Now, you know what, folks? This world is absolutely filled with lost people who know they need to get saved, who will admit they need to get saved, who promised their mama on her dying bed that they would get saved, who resolved to think about it and said that they would get saved and are not saved. It's one thing to talk. It's another thing to resolve and do it. And you know, folks, being safe and sound is attained by both resolve and action. I'm not saying you can resolve to get saved and you can attain it all by yourself. I'm saying that there are people that know they need to get saved and haven't, even though they said they would, even though they know they should. And even though they know that there are people around them that are praying for them and that they are saved, you still have to get saved. It is attained by both resolve and action. How many people have you heard say, I will do this, and then didn't? I mean, how many times? Yeah, I'll come to church sometime. Yeah, I'll count on that one, right? This world is filled with saved people who know they need to get back in church, who know they need to change their example before their children, who know full well that they can recite the formula for doing right and being right from the Bible. When the preacher tells a joke, they laugh on cue. And when he says something right, they amen on cue. And they're still not doing right. The church is filled with people like that. I'll tell you this, you're not safe and sound. You're not safe and sound just because you talk. You're not safe and sound just because you can recite the mantra. Just because you know when to say amen. And you know if you don't laugh on cue, the preacher might think you're mad.
And then that would be a clue that you were wrong. And so you do laugh on cue. But that doesn't mean that you're safe and sound. Being safe and sound is attained by both resolve and action. We have a plague of empty talk. Empty promises. You know, there's something else here. Look down in verse 24 and listen to what the Father says. He says this, of course, around the coming home of the prodigal son. He says this to the servants. He says, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. I want you to know, and this is very plain, but being safe and sound has to do with having been lost and now being found. It has to do with being found after you were lost. We sing a song, you know, "Just As I Am" with that one plea. We sing a lot of songs. But, you know, there are folks that know the songs and they're still lost. We live in a day where it's harder and harder to find somebody that really believes they're a sinner, that they really believe they're lost. I don't know what it is. I guess it's how we were reared. But I knew I was lost when I was 10. I mean, I knew I was lost. Like I told you, the only thing I'd done was stolen my mom's pecans. That was my grave sin. But I knew that I was lost. I knew I was lost. Okay, you have to be lost and found to be safe and sound. That would make a neat poem. I just made that up. You have to have been lost and found to be safe and sound. If you're unsaved, you're lost. And if you're lost, I'll tell you this, you ain't safe. You're not safe. You're not safe to step out on that curb out there. You're not safe in that you're not secure in your own life. You're not safe to be a mother or a father or a friend or a wife or a husband because you might destroy that other soul. You're unsafe. You're a cocked gun with the safety off because you're unsafe. And you can affect somebody where they'll be unsaved and stay unsaved. You're not safe. Now, I tell you what, you're not sound either. Look, anybody that hears that Jesus Christ died for your sins offers you salvation for free because you couldn't pay for it for yourself anyway, you turn and walk away. If somebody says, for instance, you don't have to be baptized from the Bible, you don't have to join the church. And you don't even have to be a Baptist to be saved. But you do have to be born again. And Jesus Christ offers you salvation as a free gift. I'm going to tell you something. If you turn and walk away from that, you're a little crazy. You're not sound. You're not thinking right. You're going to live somewhere for eternity. You're going to be somewhere forever. And the Bible says it's either heaven or hell. You're neither safe nor sound. You know something else? Look in verse 24 again. "For this my son was dead and is alive again." It is to be alive again. He said he's safe and sound. He was lost, he was found. He was dead. Before you're saved, you're dead in trespasses and sins. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior and He gave me life. You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's given me new life. I have eternal life right now. I'm going to live eternally as I stand here right now. Okay? I'm safe and I'm sound. Okay? If you're not saved, you're not safe and sound. If you've never been found, you're not safe and sound. If you've never been born again, you're not safe or sound. You're just not. And one last thing to say. I want to say that being safe and sound is being in the Father's presence. I mean, where he found safety and soundness was when he came home to the Father. Right? And that's what we have when we get saved. The Bible says that the Spirit of Christ comes and lives inside us. And it says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. I am not just going to heaven. I'm already partially there. And I'm not going to just go be with God. God lives in me now. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Folks, safe and sound, safeness and soundness is being in the presence of God. It's being in your Father's presence. Now, my dad died back in 91. I believe he was 53 years old. I remember as a little kid, my father never tipped the scales at more than 165 pounds a day in his life. Fully clothed, dripping wet, I'm not sure that he would have hit 170. But my memories of my father was, as a kid, was that my dad was the biggest, strongest, smartest guy, had the biggest muscles, was the smartest guy around, and I never doubted it. And I tell you what, I never ever feared for my, you know, other than the boogie bear in my closet, I never feared for my safety in my lifetime, in the time that I was with my father. Okay? We worked, you know, 2,000-pound cattle and everything else, and when Dad was there, I was never concerned. There was a day that I went home, and the chemotherapy had rid my father of all his hair, and he was no longer strong, and he was no longer healthy, he was no longer sure, he was no longer capable. Okay? And that's one of the things that life teaches you in this life, is that you're mortal, and that anything you have here is temporal. But you know what? I have a father that chemo doesn't rob of anything. I have a father who will never be weak, who will never be unsure, who will never be uncertain. And I will never, ever be unsafe or unsound in his presence. And I have his presence forever. Okay? Folks, listen, if you've never trusted Christ, I don't know if there is anybody in here, but listen, I'm telling you, you're turning down the deal of eternity if you don't come to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about baptism. I'm not talking about communion. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about you personally receiving a Savior that paid it all for you. And folks, if you can't receive a gift under those circumstances, I honestly don't know what to say. I don't have any money to pay you, to bribe you. I don't trust that I have the capability of selling it any more than I have already. You have to be a little bit broken and a little bit contrite, and you have to want answers before you're going to appreciate what God's done for you. All right? I urge you not to go home in any other fashion than safe and sound. That goes for a Christian, and that goes for a non-Christian. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we ask you to stay here among us here for a little while, and I pray that you'd plead with the hearts and conscience of everyone here that needed to hear this morning. It applies across the board, first of all, plainly to unsaved people who need to be born again, but also to your own people. This prodigal son, Lord, was his father's child, regardless of anything else. And he still wandered away and came back home. I've been there spiritually. I've done that spiritually. I'm asking you to make these things real. I pray that you would deal with folks here as we edge up to the very last seconds of the final day before the coming of Christ. That you'd help your people to get in a safe and sound place. We remained with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for just a couple minutes. Let me give you an opportunity to come. If you've never trusted Christ, would you come? Somebody will be happy to take you aside. It's not an embarrassing situation. We want to show you out of the Bible how to find answers for your dilemma. Would you come now? If you're a Christian and you've been dallying in things, if you've been dallying with the world, and if the application here this morning means anything to you, you're really not as safe as you convinced yourself you were, and you're really not as sound as you convinced yourself that you were, why don't you come
and make an apology to God. Don't apologize to me. Nobody's watching. You come apologize to God. You say, God, you know something? Anytime we've had a disagreement, you've always been right, and I've always been wrong, and I always will be. I am sorry. Why don't you come? Right now, why don't you come? With a hymn book in hand, number 270, we'll stand and sing. There's still time for you to come this morning if you need to talk to the Lord. Number 270. Are you safe and sound? Number 270. Dismissed. Father, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God. Appreciate that You are faithful. When we're not, You continue to call us back home. I pray You call us back home, not just physically, Father, but in heart and spirit. We again are aware that we live on the cusp of the last days here. And if there's ever been a time to set forth the great effort, Lord, to battle and be right, occupy, have faith on earth when You come, now's the day. We pray that You'd help all here who've resolved to do so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See you tonight at 6, folks.